This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Do that was to become a cooperative. So, I mean, we take that because we look at the movement for labor rights and social justice and environmental rights and so on as part of the same thing. We see it as all part of making this a world where humans are considered assets, not expenses.
So KBOO, the staff is quite small, only 9 people in the bargaining unit, is that right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So CWA has experience representing other small nonprofit staff. Can you tell us about some of those situations and how they're similar or different to the KBOO situation?
Well, I have to say, Jobs with Justice was pretty easy management, quote unquote, recognized us right away. And really, it was only a matter of trying to figure out when everybody wasn't busy so that we could meet and work out a contract. And I'm not saying that we all agreed to everything as we did the contract negotiations, but it was pretty easy. Free Geek, it took us about 6 months because we only met for 2 hours before work started so that everybody could attend if they wanted to, staff could attend. And we really made a lot of gains in that contract. And we found out in the process that at Free Geek, the staff people were the institutional memory and were the ones that made sure everything ran smoothly more than the management did at that time. And so, but we came to a really great first contract. On the other hand, the Fund for the Public Interest, which raises funds for OSPIRG, Environment Northwest, and also, or Environment Oregon, Environment Colorado, various groups in California and so on, that has not been so great. The bargaining unit has had a huge turnover, but management's fought us tooth and nail all the way. No. They've fired the first bargaining committee we had. We've been bargaining for 18 months, and we're still not at a contract.
That's really a different situation where there's management out of town, different, quite a bit larger than the KBOO situation or the more comparable Jobs with Justice or Free Geek situation.
Right.
Well, now back to KBOO. Since the executive director has recognized the KBOO staff in their desire to bargain collectively about wages, hours, and working conditions, there's going to be a proposal developed, I'm sure, from the workers and the union to present to KBOO management. And at this point, obviously, it's not possible to say exactly what will be contained in that, but perhaps you can give some examples from some of these other situations as to the sorts of components that might have.
Well, at a lot of nonprofits, it's not really about the money or benefits, although at some it was. Free Geek is a big example. But at, for example, the Fund for the Public Interest, at Jobs with Justice, at a lot of those places, it's not really about the money or the benefits. It's about respect and dignity. It's about having just cause. In other words, not being an at-will employee, but really management having to say, you messed up and that's why we're firing you, not because randomly they fire you.
That's what you mean by at will?
At will is they can just randomly fire you for non-discriminatory reasons.
And just cause means that they have to have a rule that you've broken.
Yes. Well, not only that, but if you improve, if they say, look, you're doing this wrong and you improve, they can't fire you.
Progressive discipline.
Right.
Based on the severity,
exactly,
of the violation, that sort of thing.
There you go. And so, but a lot of it really is about respect and dignity. It's about, okay, the work we do is work. And the nonprofits don't expect to get rich at the nonprofits, but they should have respect for that. I mean, here at KBOO, for example, the staff here has really kept the station together. They've done it through thick and thin. They've done it. If they went to a different radio station, they would be making considerably more money. Some of them have the kind of skills that would be at home in some of the larger for-profit stations and so on. And so it's really about being respected for who they are, for their history, for their collective history here at the radio station, for their work with all the volunteers. There's a lot of work with volunteers, obviously, at KBOO when you only have 9 staff and you have all these different programs.
There's actually 500 volunteers.
There you go. And so that's what it's all about, is having respect for that kind of work. It's not easy work to deal with volunteers who could do anything at any time.
And a change in cast of them, too. It's always different faces rotating in and out.
Mm-hmm. And some of the staff have been around for quite a few years.
Yes, some of the staff have. Some of the staff haven't. Some are full-time, some are part-time. There's actually a couple of temporary people right now. And so we have a whole mix of people, just like any other work group. But the main thing is, you know, management unilaterally took away and changed some of their benefits before they joined a union, and that's why they did it. It wasn't so much that those things were taken away, although it's a huge blow when you're not rich. But it was the whole attitude toward them, that they're the ones that have made it problematic for KBOO to raise funds or whatever.
Well, let's talk about that, about what provoked the staff to decide that they wanted a union. KBOO's mission statement states that the station promotes democracy, human rights, giving a voice to the marginalized and underrepresented. That, you know, in other words, KBOO promotes democracy for the working class. Labor unions are the best expressions of democracy at the workplace, and in my humble opinion.
Or they can be.
They can be. The fact that KBOO has sustained a weekly labor radio program for decades proves that the KBOO community is union friendly. However, my understanding is that union recognition by the current station management did not come easily. So why don't you tell us a story? You started telling us how at-will
right.
versus for-cause discipline was a big issue. Tell us
some
more.
I think what it was station management came in and said, we're going to hire a consultant. The consultant came in. And it appeared that the consultant was mostly consulting with the board of directors, not with the staff that do the day-to-day operations, came up with a proposal or came up with the conclusion, right or wrong, that it was the staff that was keeping KBOO from joining the 21st century in their programming decisions. And also, there was, at the same time, the winter fundraising drive was canceled because for a variety of reasons. But then the station management said, we don't have enough funds to keep the same level of benefits for the staff. And so they went to the staff and said, hey, what if we did this? What if we did that? They used paychecks, HR consultants to help them come up with a really pretty retrogressive policy, you know, employee manual. And that included at-will employee because that's their standard for all employers. In fact, anyway, I won't go into that. That's a real digression. But then as this whole thing came about, we had talked before a couple years ago with KBOO staff. And at that time, they decided that it wasn't necessary to form a union and that's fine. But then they came back to me when all these changes happened, when they took away some of the, for example, some of the benefits around maternity leave and some of the benefits, some of the carryover for or accumulation for sick time. They came back and they said, look, Madeline, we think we want to form a union. And so we sat down and talked about it, how we would do it, what that would mean, why, what a contract does or doesn't do for you, what can happen or not happen for what we, for what's happened so far. And so we went out, got cards. Most people in the bargaining unit signed. And almost everyone signed. Let's put it that way. Almost everyone signed. And we presented it at a staff meeting here to Lynn and said...
Lynn being the executive
Lynn
director.
Lynn Fitch being
executive
the
director.
Executive director.
Yeah.
And said, hey, here's card signed. Here's a copy of all the cards signed by everybody here at the station. And we'd really like for you to just voluntarily recognize our union. So Lynn said, fine, after the fund drive, the spring fund drive, I'll get back to you. And so I called her considerably after the fund drive because we hadn't heard from her. And she said, oh, I have to talk to our lawyer. And then within the next day or two, she had a staff meeting and told the staff, hey, you know, I was thinking that it might be a clean idea just to go ahead and fire all of you and let you go on unemployment, and then you can reapply for your jobs. And so that's when we decided that voluntary recognition, we weren't going to wait for it, that we were going to just go ahead and file with the National Labor Relations Board.
What do you mean by file?
File for an election for mm-hmm. a union.
Okay.
So that's what we did. And so, of course... The National Labor Relations Act basically protects workers when they're organizing a union. And how they protect them was management can't change your working conditions unless you bargain it with the union. And so firing everybody, they couldn't do it because that's changing the working conditions, and they'd have to bargain that with the union before they could do it.
Let me mention you're listening to Labor Radio on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. This law firm that the station management needed to consult with, I believe it's Bullard Laws, the law firm in question.
Yes.
And I have in front of me from their website a description of some of their specialties. One of those is union avoidance. I'm reading here from their own document. And the points under that are strategies to maintain a union-free workplace, employee communications, employment law compliance, employee relations, and minimization of union activity. So what does it mean when this sort of law firm is brought into this type of situation?
Yeah, they're in the labor movement, they're known as union busters, and they don't want unions. Union avoidance is really union busting. They would love there's a huge proliferation, highly compensated law firms that all they do is bust the unions. And they have way more money at their disposal. They charge, you know, hundreds of dollars per hour to do this sort of work. And that's one of the reasons why this country has dropped in the percentage of people who are in at least the private sector in terms of being unionized. And so some of the things that they do is... they tell management, look, fire this leader and that leader. Tell the employees, oh, just give us a chance. We'll do the right thing for you. Bribes, steak dinners, breakfasts. And then they also attack the union. Well, you know, you'll have to pay union dues. That's always the big number one thing they do. You have to pay union dues. Well, you know, CWA, you don't pay union dues till we get a signed contract. So DOSHA, you know, what was it, 18 months of bargaining for a contract? And in the end, we lost DOSHA as a bargaining unit, and we never got a cent of union dues from them. But that's not why we did DOSHA. We did DOSHA because service workers really need somebody to advocate for them. You know, people who work on commission, when DOSHA management said, hey, it's a free, you get a free service, that means that person didn't get paid for that service, because 45% of nothing is nothing. And so, you know, it's about changing people's attitudes toward unions, and it's also about teaching people to stand up to fight for themselves, because they don't know how to. A lot of people don't know how to because of TV.
So back to KABU.
Sure. Sorry, that was digression.
That's all right. No, I understand. You're passionate about social justice. So the board has hired Bullard, this union of avoidance law firm, which recommended what? What did they? Was one of the first things or second things that they had the executive director doing?
Well, I guess the executive director had all these meetings, and it sounded like they were, first they went, when we filed our petition, they said, well, all these job titles are not part of the bargaining unit. So volunteer coordinator, that's a management job. Well, okay, you can argue that anything's a management job, but they don't manage actual humans. And so we successfully fought back that. The only person besides the executive director that's considered management is now the financial coordinator.
So they were unsuccessful in eliminating people from the bargaining unit. Even with this union avoidance law firm. But then on May 4th, the executive director agreed to recognize the union instead of taking it to an NLRB election. What happened?
Well, I mean, I want to thank the Labor Radio Collective for really being kind of the clarion call on this, for saying, hey, this isn't right, and going to the board of directors meetings and listening to what's going on there, but also talking to other KABU members and ultimately organizing 250 people to come to a meeting on May 4th to talk to the station director and the board of directors, who are also there, about, you know, the future of KABU, about the staff, and allowing them to have their democratic right to a union and to a contract. And there were hundreds of people there at that meeting who were supporters, plus an organization, Keep KABU as KABU, was formed. So we had a lot of support. We really appreciate the staff in particular, I want to say, really appreciates everyone who came to that meeting or who called the station or who did anything in terms of support for them being able to form their own union.
Well, the recognition is a big step, but does it mean there's really been a sea change in terms of the attitude that management at KABU has been employing? Is there a difference in the type of advice they're getting? Is this law firm no longer in the picture? Are they still in the picture?
I believe the law firm is still in the picture. We have to do a letter of agreement that says the station management voluntarily recognizes. And so our lawyer has been doing research on that and is sending over a letter sometime this week. So, you know, they'll have to sign it, and we'll see if Bullard Law signs it or recommends that it be signed. But I don't think they've fired Bullard Law. Everything that comes from the board still says that they're sending stuff to Bullard Law.
Now, I understand that not having dealt with a union before, that KABU management, the executive director, or the board might want some advice from somewhere.
Sure.
Who could they go to if they weren't to go to a union busting law firm?
Well, there's a lot of labor lawyers, independent labor lawyers, and firms. I can't think of one off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. I mean, we hired Gene Mechanic, who's one of the best labor lawyers in the field. But there's all kinds. I mean, all you have to do is pick up the Northwest Labor Press, and there's all kinds of pro-union law firms that advertise there. And I mean, one of the things that the executive director and some of the board of directors said at that meeting was that, well, KABU is a corporation, you know. Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of nonprofits are corporations. But just because you're a corporation doesn't mean that you're anti-union. I mean, there's such a thing as the for-profit corporations. They're out to bust unions and out to extract as much money out of the back pockets of workers as possible, because all profit comes from workers. It doesn't come from anything else. And there's a big difference between that and having to form a corporation in order to prove that you're a charity, a 501c3. You have to do that.
Or an educational institution, which is what KABU is.
Right, or an educational institution. So there's a huge difference between those two. And KABU itself has a different philosophy. I mean, let's be honest. This is a community radio station. That means it serves a community that doesn't have a voice with the large NBCs, ABCs, and so on that are out there. We don't have, you know, we can't afford to pay $5,000 for an ad, you know, advocating human rights. That's not it. You know, that's where we have KABU.
So as part of that picture, if the KABU staff builds a strong union, how does that contribute to making that mission thrive, to making this a community station that does serve the community, that is a voice for people who otherwise don't have one?
Well, I think the one thing is that what CWA advocates all the time is a voice at work for the workers, you know, having a say in how things happen at work. That's workplace democracy. We're really big on that. We're big on democracy in our local. Sometimes it seems like it's endless, but that's the way democracy is. It's messy. It doesn't go all the way you think it's going to go, but that's what it's for. Because at the end, what you have is something that everybody agrees to, and it's a better thing than having some tyrant who is looking to make a profit tell you what you're going to program. And so that's how it's going to make it better, because the staff advocates for the volunteers. The staff advocates for, you know, democratic programming, for programming that reflects the community. I mean, they're very excited about talking about the anniversary of the Vanport flood. I mean, that's a huge history that nobody knows about. It's one of the many reasons why KABU is so important to this community.
So KABU management continues to spend thousands of members' dollars paying this union avoidance law firm to advise them in contract negotiations. That must mean that KABU is flush with money, maybe enough to provide better benefits for the staff, no?
Well, they're saying that they're going broke. They're saying that they had to cut some of the benefits, like sick pay and maternity leave. And they've even floated the idea with the board of directors, to, you know, raise some people's wages and lower others, so that everybody's kind of equal. And it's like, okay, cutting wages is not really a good idea. And so, I mean, you know, there could have been the winter fund drive for whatever reason. They had a reason for not doing the winter fund drive. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the main issue here is the respect and dignity issue. It's more, you know, I mean, it's not that we're okay. And that's all I have to say.
Well, we have a little more than a minute left, Madeline. So in that time, what can you tell our listeners and people who care about the working class, about workers' rights, and who support unions? What can they do to assist, to get involved, to help win a fair contract for the KABU staff?
Well, we really need people to contact Keep KABU as KABU, which is an email is keepkabu9@gmail.com. to get updates, or go to www.savekabu.org for background. We need people to still be active in calling station management and saying, hey, we support the workers forming their own union.
And if you want to show up at the next board meeting, that's Monday, June 3rd, 6 p.m. Here at KBOO, which is 20 Southeast 8th. And want to thank Madeline Elder, president of CWA Local 7901, representing the KBOO staff. And my co-host, John Walsh. This is Jamie Partridge. And thanks to our engineer, Danielle. That does it for tonight's Labor Radio program, the only program of its kind in Oregon or Southwest Woo-hoo! Washington. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. And stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
Good night.
Good night, John.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
The time is 6:30, and you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon Southwest Washington Carpenters Local 156, whose goal is to organize workers, provide a safe work environment, ensure livable wages, and elevate the moral and social condition of its members. Information at ubc156.org. And now, coming up next is some special programming. Prison Pipeline will not be aired tonight. So please stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio and Proper Villain Productions are co-sponsoring the 4th annual Portland's Prom, the prom you wish you'd had, where the punch will already be spiked and curfew extends past midnight. Portland's Prom will happen on Saturday, May 18th, at the Star Theater in Portland. Doors open at 8:30 p.m. This event is a benefit for Planned Parenthood. Participants must be 21 plus. Entertainment is provided by Just People, Excellent Gentlemen, Worth, and Dimitri. More information can be found online at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the page under Community Events.
Every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you can hear this voice alerting you that
you are about to cross the border.
And then follow the footsteps to a two-hour-long sustained environment of uninterrupted sonic art or new electronic, experimental, or postmodern music. Audio that breaks and rewrites the rules to create entirely new worlds of sound. Where will you be on Mondays at 8 when the door slams shut? Here on KBOO Portland.
Up next is a special programming. We will not be airing Portland or Prison Pipeline. And up next is Community Voices, so please stay tuned.
SLR 96.5 Sarasota and the Pacifica Radio Network. I'm Vinny Canizaro, and you're listening to A Community of Voices. Radio for the people, powered by the people. Last June, I had the opportunity to speak with Ray Crone. Ray is a former death row inmate from Arizona. Now, the key word there is former. He was put on trial and convicted and spent time on death row for a murder that he did not commit. Simply put, Ray was a victim of a wrongful conviction. So the question remains, how many other people like Ray are out there? How many people are sitting in prison, not just for murder, but for a multitude of crimes that they did not commit? Without a doubt, there are flaws in our criminal justice system and flaws in how punishment is given. Mistakes inevitably occur, but how often they occur and the effects mistakes bring is a worthy topic to delve into. In the search for justice, are we actually being destructive? Is there a solution to protect the innocent? My guest today is Jim Pietro. Jim served as the Republican Attorney General in the state of Ohio from 2003 until 2007. He's also the co-author, along with his wife Nancy, of the book False Justice: 8 Myths That Convict the Innocent. Jim, thanks so much for joining me on A Community of Voices. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Vinny. Thank you.
Great. I'm so glad you're able to come on the show. So you were the Republican Attorney General in the state of Ohio, and you, in that role, you're also one of the lead prosecutors. So I'm curious, before you were Attorney General, or towards the beginning of your career, what was your view on the death penalty?
You know, I actually was on the subcommittee in 1981 that wrote Ohio's death penalty law. I was a member of the state legislature at the time. And at the time, I supported the death penalty with several points in mind. Number one, I felt that the worst of the worst, the most heinous of criminals, were costly to the state to maintain them for 40, 50, 60 years in prison. And the state and the public would save money if we enacted the death penalty. I never felt any moral objection to the death penalty, where in a democracy, through the legislative process, a determination is made that the worst, most heinous of criminals could be subject to death. I could accept that. And so with that in mind, I argued that this would be more cost effective for the state. And number two, it would be a deterrent to future crimes. Now, in reality, over the last 32 years since that law was passed, neither have been true. It is not cost effective at all. In fact, it costs more money to go forward with an execution than it does for life imprisonment without parole. And it is certainly not a deterrent. We see no deterrent factor at all in the death penalty. So it really brings you to the point where you